bum, bing, bing, bum, 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 bum. Hello, everybody. I'm Chris.
I'm Craig.
I'm known as Jack.
Oh, we can hear what we're watching.
Oh, what are we watching?
Well, what we're watching is enhanced by the fact that we can't work out how to make the subtitles.
Yeah.
Come on.
So we're assuming that network will just say, no, they're good guys.
Yeah, good guys.
Good guys.
Two of them are good guys. What one of them's actually
the good guy.
What are we watching, Jack?
So we are watching the incomparable, I would say the best programme ever shown on ITV. Except for Steel. I'm saying that.
You're going there.
Have you got a list of everything else that's ever been shown?
Yeah, I do.
Can I see it?
No, you probably
don't. It's there you go. Which thinking.
Yeah,
no, right.
Yeah, it's pretty good, isn't it?
I think you'll find it's two spots under Shammy Dad.
But to clarify, we're going to be watching Adventure 6.
Hang on, I found a late addendum. Bottle Boys.
So this is Adventure 6. So this is the last ever Sapphire Steel Adventure.
Oof.
And why are we watching this? There is a spurious reason why we're watching this, isn't there?
As Smashy and Lacey said, Joanna Lumley, very comely.
Right. So there's a spurious reason why we're watching this. Not that we need any... Yeah, it's the 35th anniversary.
Yeah.
Really?
But it was shown in the summer.
The final one, yeah. So
yeah.
We're a wee bit late. So 1982.
And I'm eating... I don't know what this is, Chris. What is this?
They're just little pies. Those sausage rolls are fucking honking. They're sausages.
They're barbecue sausages.
Oh, they're really nasty.
I like a bit of barbecue.
Want Cornish pottery.
Sausage. Quite happy with that.
So what's happening here?
So, I think what is revealed shortly is that Sapphire and Steel have arrived at this petrol station and they know not why.
They never do. There's an uncanny resemblance to the Scottish author Alan Massey.
Is it possible that David McCallum's character in this is going to be quite narky all the way through?
Yeah. I think there's every chance.
So what's this called?
So there isn't an official name for any of the Sapphire and Steel stories.
Right.
I think this one's referred to by fans as... Is it The Trap, I think, perhaps?
No, but Adventure 6.
It says Adventure 6.
Adventure 6.
Yes.
Assignment.
When they made these, they just didn't give any consideration to calling them anything.
Yeah. Oh, hello. Are you handy?
Oh, he's an Elizabeth R.
Yeah, I know him.
David Collings.
Yeah, oh! Oh, of course it is. Yeah, no, I have...
What else is he in?
I have David Collings' CDs of him reading Emma James' stories. I stole them off him. Yeah. No, and he's really good. Yeah, he's a good reader, yeah.
Better.
I know Elizabeth R. He gets tortured by Mr. Barakoff off a pony.
Does he? Yeah.
Oh, we need to talk about gunpowder.
Okay.
Oh. Wait till I finish one of these cream pies. Well, here we go. Here's the most iconic sequence, I think.
Yeah.
The title sequence, yeah.
Yeah, sure, I'll be.
And who's the voiceover not?
Beryl Bainbridge.
That's true, but who is it not?
Harold Pinter.
That's true, but who is it not? Come on.
Grot bags the
bitch. You've got something cogent to add to this.
Do I?
Yeah. You had a conversation with the man who for many years people thought it was. And it's not.
Dick Emery.
I've never had a conversation with
him. He has a canal boat, this man.
No, you've totally lost me.
David Suchet.
Oh, yes, of course. Really? Do people think this statement is
Yeah, for a long time, yes.
Uh-huh. Oh.
And I think you asked him.
No, I didn't.
Did he say, no, I'm not the man. Yes, smelly. Scottish smelly.
Maybe.
Did you not? You dealt with him, though, in the call centre?
Yeah, yeah. No, it wasn't in the call centre.
Okay.
It's a whole other thing.
Right.
However... did an interview for him from off of the telly,
right,
and for TV Cream when Peter Ustinov died.
Ah, okay,
nice guy.
Peter Ustinov's dead.
So anyway, yes, for some reason, for a long time, the rumor went around that it was David Suchet.
Oh, it doesn't sound like David Suchet.
No, it doesn't sound like David Suchet.
No, it doesn't sound like John Suchet.
No, it doesn't sound like John Suchet.
So, how over what period of time were Sapphire and Steel on the telly?
So I think it started in 1978.
Eight or nine.
I think it was 1978, but you might be right.
You might be right, because I think it was a lot during the ITV strikes.
Okay, yes. So I think it started at the tail end of 78.
Right.
And then Adventure 2 ran into the ITV strike.
Right.
So Adventure 2 is the railway station one, which is eight episodes.
Yeah, amazing.
And so what they did was they actually then, I can't remember how far they got through, I don't know, 4 or 5 episodes. And so then after the strike, they just reshowed the lot. And then this story, and so then this story, Adventure 6, I think follows on a bit after Adventure 5, because it got caught up in the whole ATV Central franchise.
Okay, reorganisation.
And so one of the theories as to why there was no more after this, because there was supposedly meant to be more after this,
right,
was because it fell victim of that whole franchise renewal thing.
Right.
The other theory is that Dave McCann didn't want to do any more.
Right. So what does that boil down to? How many years?
So, four. Four.
Right.
Cool. He was probably quite excited about Reagan's America. He's a big conservative.
Is he?
Big conservative, Dave McCallum.
He wanted to take over for Morning in America.
Yeah. He's a good guy, though. Ooh, I had an interview on radio recently, and he comes across well. He grew up mostly in... his dad was, I think, a conductor with symphony orchestras and whatnot.
Oh,
but he spent the war... Because he's a good age, he's in his 80s now.
Oh, yeah, he's in his
80s. So then he would be about 50
mm-hmm.
and looking great.
Mm.
But he... what's it called, that terrible place? Oh, the Garter Horn. He grew up mostly in Garter, for quite a long spell in the war in Garter Horn.
Really?
Wow. I was going to say, what was that terrible place that was there? It was the Hungry Monk, which is no longer there.
See, the Staff Iron Steel is one of those programmes that I think people say, oh, you could never make that now.
Yeah.
Nobody was making it then.
No, that's true. It is an absolute odd.
When people say things like that, it makes it sound like they made stuff like this all the time.
Yes.
They really didn't.
No. They got fucking huge audiences.
Oh, yeah.
They did, yeah.
Massive.
Yeah. Yes. It was something like in the top 20 most watched.
I watched it.
It was, in the top 20 most watched programmes of the year in 1979.
Yeah. No, it was great. Yeah. It was on quite early in the evening, though, about 7 o'clock.
That's right.
Mm. So you could watch it before you went to bed.
Yes.
Shitting yourself.
So originally it was pitched as a children's
especially
program.
Especially that badger that turns up in the fucking photographs.
Mm. Oh, yeah, that's Adventure 4. Yeah, it does, doesn't it? So it was originally pitched as a children's program to Thames Television, and they didn't want it. And then to Southern TV.
Right.
And they were kind of humming or hawing. They wanted the writer PJ Hammond to write a full treatment. And then your man, I think it was possibly Francis Essex, maybe, at ATV, saw it and just said, oh, this is great.
Wow.
We just need to make this. And so they had the shit budget for it, and then they spent it all on casting David McCallum.
Mm-hmm.
And so then they said, right, we can't make this a kids' programme anymore because we don't have enough money. So actually the first script was, and when you watch them now, the first story is a bit more like a kids' programme,
right.
I would
say. Yeah, it is. That's true. The kids are quite big in it, yeah. However, they make, what I'd say about it is, the studio-bound video quality not having much... all kind of works in its favour and makes
well,
it
I think it makes it timeless.
Yeah,
it's absolutely beautiful, because I think one of the outstanding things about Sapphire and Steel, and as you say, they wouldn't make anything like it now, and they never made anything else like it then, it's the direction, which I think is astonishing.
And it takes its time to do it properly.
Oh yeah, it certainly takes its time.
Aye.
Yeah.
Yes,
but the pace really adds to the atmosphere.
Yeah. But like all this bit, so this bit of business that we're watching now with Steel following whatever this funny little cable thing is.
Mm-hmm.
It's a CB radio!
There you go.
Those were big in the day. Bic a 1-9 for a copy, come on. Aye, you got the gadget here.
I remember...
1-9-1-9 for a copy.
I remember Mike Harding doing a special look at CB radios for Nationwide.
Mm-hmm.
And it was... he had, you know, like... a comedy CB radio thing on his back. No. It's a funny thing, Mike Harding. I like Mike Harding a lot, but it's not aged. His material hasn't aged terribly well.
No, I can imagine. Mm. Look at that, it's in the part one already.
Yeah. I was watching an episode of Lord Bob Monkhouse's show, and there were two guests, I think, on it. Two guests and a singer.
Mm-hmm.
I can't remember who the singer was, a comedy singer. But the big guest at the end was Mike Harding, because he was big. But actually his material is really not lasted terribly well. It was a big long sequence about getting home. Oh, Edward D'Souza.
Was it racist or anything?
About getting home drunk.
Uh-huh.
And all the things you do when you're drunk.
Oh, I see.
It hasn't aged well, because it's now you've heard that a million times from other people. He may well have originated it. But the other guest on the programme, and he's wearing a wacky suit and all that sort of thing.
Kelly Monteith.
No, the other person on the programme is Roy Walker.
Alright.
Who's phenomenally funny on it. Is much, much better.
Just comes out and steals the place.
Mm. Edward D'Souza was a standard player in all of these sort of things at the time. I can't remember the last time I saw Edward D'Souza on the telly. I'm presuming he's well dead now.
I think he must be dead.
He's in the One Foot in the Algarve.
Is he?
Yeah, of course.
Yeah, he's the Portuguese boyfriend, tentative boyfriend of Mrs. Warboys. When they think that she's
Mrs. Warboys,
when they think she's a great character as well, Mrs. Warboys. Who they think has died because she fell over a cliff and he killed her, and actually she just took a tumble or something, ended up in the hospital with a wrong tag on her, and hilarity ensued. Genuinely hilarity ensued because it was hysterical.
Craig, would David Collins have been a good Doctor Who?
I was going to ask you, was he in Doctor Who?
Yeah, he's in Modern Undead.
Do you think he would have?
Yeah, he'd have been brilliant.
His hair's about Fee.
That's good. You need a bit of that sometimes, Doctor Who.
I'm sure it's Fee in the right way, though.
It's Fee in the wrong way.
Is there a wrong Fey then? Is that what you're trying to say?
It's the wrong kind of Fey.
The wrong kind of Fey.
It looks like he pays too much attention to it.
Yeah, possibly.
Right. Ooh.
So, what's your memories of first ever watching Saffron Steel? Great.
What, the Pennymill Road in Edinburgh? Probably before I went for a bath.
And was it something I
went for a bath for the first time when I was 8 or something.
Okay.
I mean,
you were 14 when you first
that program.
That was Adventure 7.
Yes,
exactly. I just remember watching it.
And did you happen across it? Do you remember? Or can you remember why you watched it?
I knew it was coming up, I remember. Being quite, cause I mean, because I liked this kind of stuff. I liked spooky stuff and I liked science fiction stuff. So it must have been quite heavily trailed because I remember sitting down to watch it and loving it.
I remember.
But it did shut me up good and proper.
Yeah,
well, I was. I'm going to eat that, Jack.
Do it.
I was very young when you know.
Do it. I'm going to have these lovely sausages.
Listen to this. Hang on, folks. Listen to this.
That's a proper Scotch egg, isn't it?
Can you hear that? That's a Scotch. You probably can. It's a Scotch egg rattling. It's such a shit Scotch egg.
What you want
egg.
From the Scotch egg is orangeness and a rattle.
Wow.
That's good, isn't it?
That's more of a rattle
I'm
than
happy
that.
With that. I'm happy with that. Rattling anyway. Home. So when
I was very, very young.
Yeah,
when it was young.
You're just a wee totty thing, aren't you?
Yeah, you're a tiny little.
But I do remember watching it, but not in any coherent way. I was just too young. But what I remember about it is, which I think is interesting to me, is that I watched it at home. In the very much like, because you know I was only 4 or 5, so you have not much control over the big telly.
Mm-hmm.
So it was put on. So my mum and dad must have wanted to watch it. So that's that. But I also remember watching it at my Grand Smith's in the High Flats in Coatbridge.
Right.
So my grandpa must have wanted to watch it as well. And it's interesting that indicates the demographic spread of the people who watched
it. That's a lovely clock, that. Look at that.
Mm.
And funny enough, I remember watching it, loving it and all that, but then not seeing it for a very long time.
Yeah, it sort of disappeared,
and
didn't
kind
it,
of forgetting about it until I read like an article about it or something.
Yeah.
And it mentioned the badger that kicks about between photographs.
Right.
And I immediately thought, oh, fuck yeah, I remember that. It scared the life out of me, yeah.
I think Sapphire and Steel is very much one of the pre-nostalgia boom YouTube programmes that people, solidly into the...
Yeah, people just forgot about it, didn't
remember
they?
Remember bag pushing kind of category.
I think that's true.
But although it's the right kind of nostalgia.
Yeah. It is the right kind.
When did you first see it, Jackson?
So, excuse me. I saw it on its original transmission, and I vaguely remember the first adventure, but I really remember the second adventure.
Mm.
And I remember, I'd forgotten about it. Like, you know, you were saying... Oh, no, it's not that one. It's the pack up...
Sorry, that's what it is. Sorry.
Now, I remember at school, many years later, I think we must have been doing something about World War One. And our teacher talking about that song and thinking, oh, I know that song. And then remembering where I know that song.
Mm. And did you start screaming in the class?
I did.
Like in The Omen.
I shouted, take back time. That's what I shouted.
Yeah, let's talk about what they are.
Mm.
They're not aliens, as far as we know.
Why are they not aliens?
As far as we know.
Okay.
Whatever they are, the force they are fighting or rallying against or trying to manage is time.
That's right.
What a brilliant idea.
It is an amazing idea. Mm.
that time is an almost enemy. Kind it's of
protagonist.
Malign
yeah,
force.
An evil yeah. entity, yeah.
Yes. It's quite Nigel Neal, isn't it?
So they come yeah. from some, they suggest it certainly in the title, they come from some sort of dimension, other dimension.
Yeah. yeah.
And that they are heavy elements. Mm-hmm. Pure heavy elements.
But that's what we know.
Yeah, that's it.
And of course, steel isn't an element, and nor is sapphire.
No, no. And it's never... It says they're not the most...
The transuranic elements yeah. cannot
the
be
trans-uranic
used.
Transuranic heavy yeah, elements
so not
be used.
They're not the mardiest of all yeah. the elements yeah. because they can't be used where life exists.
Can you imagine how yeah. fucking mardy, though, they are?
Yeah, can you imagine?
Because he's a bit of a dick, frankly.
He is. But the other thing that we know is that silver is a technician. So, yes. so there is some kind of demarcation, professional demarcation.
Another clever idea of it, which puts it firmly into the hauntological.
Is that the correct definition?
The correct definition as well as okay. the...
rather than just
the made up one that you
lazy
try and
slag,
get the
wrong kind of hauntology.
Hospital programs about, uh-huh. is the notion that you can tell, that you can identify these moments in time, or time bearing upon the world badly through anachronisms. Mm-hmm. Or really old things being in modern places and whatnot. Okay. That's a really clever idea. Mm. Who is P.G. Hammond?
So P.G. Hammond...
I think he'd never written anything before.
Yeah, no, he had.
Had you?
Yeah, he wrote a very good Ace of Wands story.
Oh, right, okay.
Called Peacock Pie.
Because I didn't think it was of any great significance.
No, he was a sort of journeyman writer. I think he probably wrote things like Zed Cars and
yeah.
that kind
yeah.
of stuff. So he's the kind of guy who would have done like Bergerac and
he's
and
not the guy that did
things.
Stuff like Between the Lines and all that, was that? Was that him?
No, that's another...
Man with initials.
Like J.C. Welsher or something like that. Yeah. yeah. No. I mean, he's not done anything of great success after Sapphire and Steel. The only thing that I know of any notability is he did an episode of Torchwood.
Oh, he did, yeah. Quite a good one, wasn't it? About the fairies.
About fairies
yeah, that was quite a good one, that.
All right.
Yeah.
Okay.
So, I mean, you know, he's still around.
Is he?
Yeah.
Hiya, pal.
Hiya, P.G. Yeah. Hammond.
Well, yes.
Come and see us.
Yeah. So, yeah, so he was, you know, he's just... And so that's why Sapphire and Steel was pitched to Thames, because he was already doing writing Ace of Wands.
Did he write drama,
Oh, actually, that's true. I think he did. I think he did an episode... Yeah. I think he did Mr. Stabs. I think he might
have Was that drama and spooky?
Or was that Trevor Preston? But, yeah, he was kind of in and about that sort of stuff. So he was... He's just, you know, like a lot of those great writers from that era, like your Robert Holmes, Robert Banks Stewart, he's just a journeyman writer. You know, one week he's doing Doctor Who, the next week he's doing Juliet Bravo.
I love that. I love directors who could do that as well. That's why a lot of his films kind of pass me by, or I'm not that fussed about them, but that's why I like Stephen Frears. I was talking to someone today. You know, he's got that kind of old BBC director thing about him that he'll just take along what comes along and make a turn of it. You know, there's no sort of Stephen Frears film. Mm-hmm. I'm going to start on the chocolate.
Go for it. Now, apart from the fact that I think we've already agreed that the concept's quite extraordinary, I wonder
I want to check one other thing about who they are. Mm-hmm. The other thing that suggested...
Well, there's a proper milk chocolate and Dairy Milk Bites.
No, they're not.
They're
generic.
They're good. Yeah. Who brought them? Mm-hmm. Good.
That they don't always... They're not a team, Sapphire and Steel.
What do you mean?
It's not just suggested. It said they don't always work together.
Oh, I see.
They're just... I think in Adventure 2, it's made clear that they like working together.
Right, okay.
And that they do, you know, they work well together, but they're not always... They don't always get assigned together. They're not a double act.
And also, Steel doesn't like it when Silver is kind of, sort of, flirting with Sapphire, which happens a few times.
Steel and Silver? Who's Silver?
Silver's your man there.
Of course he is.
David Collins. So, what I was going to ask is, how do you think they arrived at the directorial style? Because
is it the same director all the way through?
I think it is, actually, yeah. I think they had two directors who sort of used to alternate in episodes. Because I think originally when it was commissioned, it was going to be a short-run kids thing. And then when they realised that they'd hooked David McCallum, and then they were going to get Joanna Lumley, so they had to make it a longer series and for a family audience, they brought in another director as well. So, but it's got a really distinctive style, which I don't think I've seen on anything else before or since.
Where was Joanna Lumley in her career in 1978?
So this is just post New Avengers, isn't it? I'm thinking.
I would be about right, yeah.
So I don't know what she was doing. I know that David McCallum was in America.
Carry on.
So David McCallum was in America, I think.
Right.
Doing whatever he was doing. I think he'd probably quite recently done. Did he not do like that American version of The Invisible Man or something?
Oh, yes.
Oh,
he did.
That was sort of earlier in the 70s. That was about 75, 76. Wow.
Right, okay. Well, that ran for a few series.
Mm-hmm. Hit in his face.
So I think that's what he'd just done. And John Lumley. Yeah, like I say, I think it must have been New Avengers.
It was after the New Avengers was about 76, 78.
Mm. I think so.
There were quite a few episodes of the few Avengers, New Avengers, weren't there? Weren't that many?
I don't think it was very popular, was it?
No, it was a bit of a...
I must say, I've got a bit of a blind spot for the Avengers.
It's not something I've ever really got into.
Yeah. I like the Avengers.
We like the film.
Yeah, we like the film.
Oh, yeah.
As we discussed.
But I like black and white Avengers, early Avengers. Mm-hmm. It's got a nice
atmosphere. I like it well enough.
So they're not ghosts, are they? They're sort of time-slipping actors.
Sort of protrusions through time.
Oh.
But,
what does a protrusion look like, Chris?
He's playing the xylophone as well. Is it Patrick Bell?
Yeah. Hey, of course, we'll get to see who the director is very shortly.
Oh, yeah.
But, Johnny Lumley's definitely a sort of career has been a roller coaster ride of ups and downs. Mm-hmm. Not in the Weinstein sense, I mean, just in terms of popularity.
Because I think her first role is in Her Majesty's Secret Service, isn't it? Mm-hmm. One of the girls in there.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it's a very early role. Yeah.
She's in some of the Hammers in the 70s. She's in, I think, The Satanic Rites of Dracula.
Mm-hmm. She's in a few episodes. She's in a couple of episodes of Stepton and Son.
Is she?
Mm-hmm. In Lode Story, the one where Harold goes sleepwalking and tries to cut his dad's throat.
Nice.
When he goes to the Raymond Huntley, the psychiatrist or psychologist who sits and draws knockers while he's talking. One of the stories that he recounts is bringing a posh bird back with his mother to the house, and it's Joanna Lumley.
Oh, okay. She's in Coronation Street, wasn't she? She was Kim Ballow's girlfriend.
Yeah, well, that's much later on.
For a bit. Well, that's sort of early. Well, yes, it's later than Stepchild, because that was early 70s, I think, wasn't it? Coronation Street. I think about 73, I'm going to say. Right. I can't think of what she did, like, after Saffron Steel.
She's in Shirley Valentine.
She is, isn't she? Yeah.
Well, that's
darling, I'm a hooker.
Yeah.
89. Yes, where were you
going when you drove in here?
Wow.
I mean, sorry. I don't mean as late as that, I mean as early as that.
89, 90.
Yeah, 90 maybe.
And then
a big Christmas Day film, Christmas Day 92.
And then it's French and Saunders who sort of rescue her career, isn't it?
Ruby Wax.
Was it Ruby Wax? Is that what it was? Right, okay. So she had a cameo, did
you
she have a cameo?
I Ruby Wax. I like Ruby Wax.
Yeah.
I liked the full Wax. Her OG Simpson programme was fucking brilliant.
Yeah, it was. It was weird.
Famously, of course.
The David Guest one. I wake up with that nipple in my mouth every morning. No, you don't.
But famously, my favourite, one of the most awesome ones is the one with Liza Minnelli.
Yeah, that's the one.
Where Katie Manning is in it, absolutely smacked it or not.
Yeah.
And then there's a great one with Zsa Zsa Gabor. Zsa Zsa Gabor turned into a bit of a feature of Ruby Wax's stuff after that.
That rings a bell.
Then she did that weird BBC Two nighttime chat thing where it was like people at dinner.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Kind of. That was when the BBC thought they could do things that were kind of a bit like a happening. Here we go.
The clock stopped.
We can get to check. This is great. I'm doing episodic telly.
A man. Woman.
I don't wear really
old remember. Man.
Old man. Music's great as well, isn't it? Cyril Orandell. I think that's right.
Yeah, it's got a real sort of 50s feel to it, the music. Yeah. Anita Harris did the makeup.
Jim Reeves did the vision control. I thought he died
of plane crash. The program administrator. Good in a shower.
Right. So, on the die. Here we go.
It's got a great ending as well.
Yeah. David Reeves. Is he not a head of drama?
Sean
O'Riordan, Miss Producer. David Foster, there we go. But they definitely had a house style, didn't they?
1981.
Anyway, I was saying the
ATV was the Birmingham one, wasn't it?
Yes.
Central.
Midlands, yeah.
ATV Land.
Yeah.
Right, their offices doubling for Crossroads Motel.
Yes.
And much later, when it was Central, the weird spin-off motel.
What was that?
Do you remember Motormouth?
Yes.
Nobody but me seems to remember.
The Saturday morning thing?
Yeah.
With Gaz Top?
Yeah, no, I don't think it was Gaz Top.
Was he not?
No, Motormouth was...
Nina Ferretta then?
Might have been Andy Crane.
Yeah.
I think it was Andy Crane. Anyway...
Why did we know Ferretto again?
Oh, he was just a fleeting
Saturday morning presenter.
It had a strand running through it called Spin-Off Motel, which was supposed to be a sort of daft, almost like Crossroads rip-off, which is a bit weird. Because you're talking about 88.
Mm-hmm. Wonky Donkey, it was not.
Mm. It was good, though.
Yeah.
And Roger Sloman, for some reason, was in charge of it. It was very strange.
Oh, that rings a bell.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He had a bad wig and all that.
Yeah.
Oh, time slip. Yeah. Anyway, so Ruby Wax had that thing where people... It was like 11:30 or something. Or post-news night.
It was that open-ended, wasn't it? Conversations,
And I remember one that was her, John Simpson.
Yeah.
The guy who came up with the, is it I Am John? About, you remember him, the American guy?
Robert Bly.
The Howling in the Wind.
Yes.
And all that. And Tony Slattery.
Oh, okay. Fuck.
And it was unspeakable. And the Robert Bly character kept on digging at Tony Slattery.
Funny that.
Because Tony Slattery kept on digging at John Simpson. Pulling them up on things in a really dickish way. And Bly kept on saying to him, you just keep saying these things because you don't like them. This isn't contributing anything.
Yeah.
It was great.
Well, this isn't contributing anything could sum up Tony Slattery's entire career.
Yeah.
A career based on the back of being friends with some other people.
Yeah. What is the point of this helmet
thing?
It's lost from the box of delights.
But why? What is that there for?
Well, I always think that's the person. It's like the helmet or something of the person who's talking.
Is that the boss?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
So yeah, I like Ruby Wax.
Yeah,
I liked all those programmes. Yeah.
Do you like Girls on Top? Girls on Top.
I don't think it was very good.
See, I've got a bit of an antipathy towards Tracy Ullman.
Really?
Yeah, I just don't really like her
a previous commentary.
Yeah, I like her version of They Don't Know About Us. Is good.
You said that's she's been unfunny in four decades.
Yeah.
That's what you said.
She said a sparkling career.
Yeah, well, not very much. They say we're crazy,
yeah, that's a good song.
It's a good song.
I remember
what's the name of the song, isn't it?
Girls on Top is one of those things where I remember Custom McCall.
Correct.
I remember watching it, but I don't remember it.
I'm old enough to remember Tracy Ullman being in Mackenzie. Do you remember that?
Yeah.
About a sort of builder. Scottish guy making it big in the city. I'm going to cut dead there. I'm going to build all your city for you. Mackenzie. She's my little bit of fluff cut Tracy Ullman on the side. I think that was a heavy, heavy decanter programme.
Oh, yeah.
I'm going to build the biggest goddamn decanter in all of Glasgow.
A Scottish builder of the brothers. Anyway.
So you know,
but of course, Ruby Wax is, and she was
also build a building and call it a decanter. That's what they would do now.
Yeah,
this is the decanter.
The decanter. There's a restaurant at the top.
Yeah, the top of it lifts off. And whenever you look, it's always in front of you.
Was it full of people just standing in the corners talking?
Yeah, you can see through it to stuff beyond. You can artfully frame a shot so you can see through it.
So, Craig, what's happening in the adventure?
I've got no idea. They're in this garage.
Uh-huh.
There's time slips.
Yeah.
Safi's been a wee bit fucking scary there. This couple, who are they? I don't know what's going
They've turned up from what looks to be the 1940s.
Yeah, 1948, yeah. According to the newspaper in the car.
Right.
But it looks like a sort of 70s garage, doesn't it?
Mm. Yeah. And time seems to be caught in the loop.
Yeah, because the clock's stuck in one setting.
Now, here's something else I wanted to say about this, which is that I think
they're
very...
Say it then, Jack.
Nobody's
stopping you. You can do it.
Castro.
Go on, do it now.
I'm going to say it. I'm going to start saying it.
Go on, go on.
Now. So, one of the things that I think is very interesting about this
I'm sorry, I associate that with Christmas for some reason.
Is there,
I think you said bring out a nice new advert with a tiger.
Is that it's quite a sophisticated interpretation of time.
By the way, we said you should see it.
No, Aesop was the tiger.
Oh, sorry, wasn't I? We said that you should see it. We didn't say we'd listen to you.
All right, but I've said it
now. Castro was always the sort of...
Castro teachings was the wee drip going down the side of the thing. Anyway, speaking of wee drips.
An oily discharge.
I think, so the whole concept of how to deal with time in this is quite sophisticated, I think. And I think you have to be quite a sort of science fiction literate person to pick up some of the elements within this.
That didn't make you sound pompous at all.
All I mean is for a mainstream programme.
Yeah.
Yeah, but it clearly...
Hello. What's he up to? Oh. Excuse me, I must slip in the key.
slip into the Bentley.
He's got a touch of the Stephen Moffat about him, that badger, doesn't he?
He does, Edward Susie, yeah. Lucky we got a bit of flirtation going on here. Now, of all the cast, I have to say my favourite performer in it is David McCallum.
Yeah.
I think he's absolutely phenomenal. I mean, Joanna Lumley's brilliant as well.
In Adventure 2, he's pretty uncompromising.
Yeah, he's phenomenal in that.
He's like that with the kids in Adventure 1 as well. There's no time for them at all. No.
So
quite right, so he's like, I'm not impressed by any of you.
But I think he does that thing that lots of actors fail to do, which is... they often start off with a half characterisation, and then you kind of give in. I think Hilda Ogden is probably the although Jyn Alexander is a great actress, I think they sort of changed her character and smoothed off a lot of her rough edges.
Oh, and
make her more likeable.
No, see, I think that's not entirely the case.
Oh, interesting.
Because Hilda Ogden, and not as much as Stan actually, but that does happen to Hilda. They did smooth her off the edges, but then she got. Towards the end of her time, she got progressively sort of cuddlier and sillier.
Yeah.
But it was almost like she was really quite harsh and shrewish, but then got a bit more realistic.
Mm. Oh, maybe, yeah.
And then became a sort of caricature of herself.
Were they not described in the character bugs as a right pair of dirty sluts or something? I think it says about
right pair of dirty sluts.
I think there's quite a lot of unpleasant misogyny coming out of Jack. In this.
That's what it says in the character bio. I'm just quoting
that. That's no excuse.
And it's referring to Stan and Hilda.
Well, Stan's character is entirely different because actually Stan was a real bastard when it started.
He was, yeah.
His backstory includes like viciously beating the children and things like that, and knocking around Hilda. Mm-hmm. And it was as he got older that they turned him into a sort of more silly, cuddlier character.
Yeah, like Billy in EastEnders. Mm.
Yeah, he started out as a right bastard.
Or actually...
Battering that wee laddie, we drove
a fire. Yeah, that's right.
Or what about Roy Cropper in Coronation Street?
What about him?
Well, he started off as a stalker.
That's right.
And
Haley started off as a fella.
That's right. And is
now... finished up as Julie Hesman.
And is now a dead woman, isn't it? But what I was going to say, which I think is a marvellous...
You went to the womb. Look what's happened to you.
God. It's just recent car wallpaper. Cool.
So, what I was going to say is that David McCallum at no point deviates away from that initial interpretation.
No,
he's a bit of a cunt all the way through.
Which bit?
That's me. Anyway.
Edward de Souza.
So which is the best of the Sapphire Steel Adventures?
I think we've already agreed that number two.
Yeah.
But I like four. I'm going to put
four is good. But
I'm putting in a bid for four.
Oh, yeah. No, you're not really.
I am.
No, I don't think so.
No, you can say that you're not accepting it, but I'm putting in the bid.
I'm going to refute it.
No, that's just denying it.
You mean you're going to reject it?
Yeah, no, I'm going to refute it.
No, you're not. Well, you're not refuting it because you've not proven it to be wrong yet.
Yeah, because you're not actually arguing.
I'm inferring that you're implying.
Yeah.
That I'm refuting. Yeah. And I'm actually not refuting it.
You're refuting. Yeah, I'm refuting. You're asking. Yeah, I'm asking. I'm refuting.
dear. Bartlett Carl, there.
Oh, hello.
So the other thing that I think
he's turned into a bit of a sort of a Bond title sequence there.
Yes.
Do you remember we've got Bartlett Carr there?
Oh, that's quite effective actually.
Mm-hmm. Oh.
Quite like that.
And they were desperately trying to make Bartlett Carr the generic name for credit cards.
Mm. Oh, yeah.
But do you remember at Christmas there always used to be those amazing adverts for Access?
Yeah.
The flexible friend.
Access.
With a wee talking thing with the with a wee pound all going, oh no, that's you could pay anywhere. To me, you can't.
Have Access died as well?
Yeah, what happened to Access?
I have no idea.
But Barclaycard's owned by Barclays, isn't it?
Oh yeah, I mean that's still going. Yeah.
But Access was a kind of brand in itself.
It was like Visa
Express.
Or MasterCard.
Yeah.
Yeah, but Visa and MasterCard can be done by all banks.
No, but I think that's what Access was.
Right.
It was like a payment system.
I'm most fascinated by American ones like Diners Card. You used to get them over here.
You did used to get Diners Card, but I never quite understood.
I think it's more a charge card like
a store card.
No, like American Express. Mm. You know, you have to clear American Express every month. You can't even up, which makes you think, what's the fucking point?
What's the point of that?
Yeah.
But I wonder if that's what Access is then, because the point of all the adverts back then was that it was like easier than cash.
Yeah.
So if you've got to just pay it off. Yeah.
End of part one.
Don't worry about it because your house is accruing £60,000 a day in value.
Yeah.
Baby boomers.
Now there's been talk, isn't there, for a few years about Neil Cross of Luther fame bringing back Sapphire and Steel.
I don't think he should bring it back.
I would say.
Is it any good, Luther?
It's alright. It's just alright.
I didn't really like it very much.
I was got the impression it was just basically he's a hard hitting cop who doesn't play by the rules but he gets results.
Well yeah.
Pretty much.
But he just happens to be played
Benzino by Benzino doesn't break them and he's got a heart of gold.
It's played by and there's literally a hooker with a heart of gold in it, isn't it?
Yeah.
And it just happens to be played by somebody who's a bit charismatic and everyone kind of likes.
Yeah, but for some reason it now gets listed in stupid articles as one of the 10 greatest British television programmes. Yeah. Like, really?
But Neil Cross did write that episode of Doctor Who. I think it's called Hyde. It's the one that's set in the 70s and it's a haunted house. It's with
the one with Dougray Scott?
Yeah.
Dougray Scott.
Which I think was quite Saffron Steel-esque.
Yeah, it was,
in certain respects.
Did it have a good ending
when you found out what it was, you went, oh, right, exactly.
Yeah.
It was love.
It was,
it was
a Barclay card from the American Express.
It's quite unrealistic.
I was once at a party. I was at a film showing in Edinburgh with the good lady wife.
Uh-huh.
And afterwards, we were at a party, and we were sitting talking to someone, and Dougray Scott walked into the room.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
And I turned to the wife and said, he's not that good looking. And honestly, I've never seen such a look of hunger in her eyes
really?
Before. Yeah, she sort of went, oh.
Did she react like...
My wife's a nice lady. She's an elegant lady.
Like Sir Jane's reaction.
It was terrible. It was an awful thing to see, I tell you. I was a bit upset about it. I was like, jeez, oh.
And did she have a chat with him?
No, I think she went over and just ate him. He came in with Saffron Burrows, which always sounds like an anagram.
Saffron Burrows,
yeah.
Or something you're about to put into a risotto or something like that. Can I try some of these own
brand?
Yeah,
you should, because they're very good. Yeah, chocolate
things,
right?
Are they good?
Yeah, because there's nothing special about fucking Cadbury's chocolate anymore.
No, Cadbury's chocolate's gone rubbish, thank you. Nah. Cadbury's chocolate's really gone downhill, hasn't it?
I feel a bit queasy now, the amount we've eaten that.
Oh, we mentioned
nobody forced you to eat it.
No, Chris, nobody I take total responsibility for that.
I'd like to point out, while we're on the subject of chocolate, and not what we're meant to be talking
about. That was a good little jump in the back then.
I stumbled across an old article in the mail or something today about, it was about Easter eggs.
Yes.
You know, it was like an old link or something that was on the thing. Mm-hmm. Not here.
It's David Bradley.
And anyway, it was just for some reason, it was a list of pictures, or none of the pictures, of Macintosh Easter eggs.
Ah, yes.
And they were from the 70s and 80s, right up until about 1990, and they are phenomenal.
Yeah,
really.
I don't know what
phenomenal.
That is.
What do you mean?
A Macintosh Easter egg.
Macintoshes. Don't know what Macintoshes is.
No.
They're a maker of chocolates.
I don't know them at all.
What, Gold Cup and Bar 6 and Prize Bars?
Yeah.
No, not at all. No.
It was sort of like the competitor, weren't they? To Cadbury's,
yeah.
I would say.
I don't really. I mean, I might have been aware of them at the time, but it's just not something
But they were one of the major brands.
Mm.
Like they made Quality Street.
Yeah, yeah, it doesn't.
How queer.
Yeah, maybe I'm a time slip.
It's really odd. They made Yorkies.
Okay, that's good. The Yorkies weren't very good, though. Except for the Raisin and Biscuit ones. I like the Raisin and Biscuit Yorkies.
Anyway, point is, It's the design and all yeah. that. And it was just yeah. immense.
Yes.
You know, the amount of design and thought and looking. And it's just so
like the old Court Street tenants,
by comparison
yeah.
now.
Yeah. I've never been that fussed by Easter.
No, I don't mean Easter specifically. I just mean the amount of chocolates. Effort that a company would put in to selling its stuff. Yeah. As opposed to now.
Maybe the problem is that arseholes like me didn't pay that much attention to it, clearly.
Yeah. What happened to Macintosh?
They got bought by Nestle, I think. Yeah. Like they all did. Everyone you get, you know, Roundtree's got...
Bloody Frenchies. Mm. Corbyn's Britain.
Corbyn's Britain.
I think Roundtree is... They went to... Roundtree... Because it was Roundtree Macintosh for a while, remember? Mm.
Oh, no, that... Now I remember
that. Oh, now
that.
You remember! Yeah. And then I think they got bought by those Swiss weirdos.
Yeah.
Are they Swiss, Nestle?
Oh, I have no idea.
Sound it, didn't they? Because remember it used to be Nestle's, didn't it? At least.
Yeah. yeah. like it used to be Adidas.
Yeah, when did it stop being Adidas?
I said to my friend Shan recently, she was talking about her daughter wearing the same Adidas top that... She was on Facebook. I said, I hope he's seeing Adidas and not Adidas. She said, absolutely, yeah, still. Mm. She said, well, she said, absolutely.
Because Adidas sounds too much like Badidas, which was like that perfume and stuff that you used to get your gran. Badidas? Yeah, it was like a hand lotion.
Badass perfume.
Yeah.
But your granny, it's like badass perfume.
Well, Badidas. It was like
granny, there's your perfume. Fuck you, kid.
It was like a really old brand. In fact, it's even mentioned in the film version of Are You Being Served?
It's even mentioned in
when he, Badidas.
Yeah, when Mr. Humphries is in drag and he puts on, he says, oh, anything can happen with Badidas.
There you go.
Which is so what makes me think of Badidas.
Gran, you can come down, we're just about to have Christmas dinner. I'll just be there in a minute. And then put some of that on. Gran, you coming down? Fuck you, motherfucker!
You met my gran then.
Suck my Uzi. Can we talk about how handsome David McCallum is?
Yeah, he's very handsome.
He's like a man, isn't he? Mm-hmm. In a wee pointy way.
Not conventionally handsome.
No.
I think he looks like he's got a look
looks
of...
looks like Alan Massey.
He looks like...
Alan Massey, the novelist. Mm. Very like him.
I think he's got a touch of a more handsome Sylvester McCoy as well.
No, I don't see that at all.
Whereas I don't think...
Lovely hair, David McCallum.
I don't think David McCallum would have been a good doctor.
No.
Even though he's a great actor.
Because they've had to give him all the money and they wouldn't be able to do anything.
Exactly.
He'd have been constantly trying to get away from John Nathan Turner.
But because of the casting, it's also part of the reason why they the scripts are very wordy. And there's very little.
Well, there was wee sausages. Yeah, cover them because they're really rank.
There's very little effects. And in fact, there's only one OB shot in the whole of Sapphire and Steel. Do you know that?
Really?
I didn't even know there was one of them.
Yeah, yeah, it's in Adventure 3, it's on the roof. And I think they shot it on the roof of ATV, in fact.
I would doubt it.
So Adventure 3 is that kind of weird story with...
A picture of the building in the background.
With the people from the future come back. And then they have the accelerated...
To get into. Okay.
They've got the little baby who grows up really quickly.
Is that a programme called?
Family Fortune?
No, yeah, there's one, yeah.
Do you remember the freaky baby who grows up? And is really freaky, that actor.
Can I ask you a question? Did you see the Family Fortunes when it went out when the man said turkey to everything?
No. Did I see it?
Yeah, no. I did.
I probably did, because I watched
the
it
guy
every
has
week.
A turkey to things. You see Max trying to be a gentleman about it.
Was that in Max era?
Yeah.
So I didn't watch it with Max.
Oh, I did.
He was the great at it. But
I didn't think he was that bad.
No, but he wasn't the great at it. But
no, I mean, he wasn't Lord Bob, but when it was on, because you don't know about these things when you're that age, you just think, oh, Bob Monkshouse is doing it last week, Max Baggy was doing it last week.
Plus, he was a huge star.
Yeah, and I thought it was all right.
It was your chump.
I remember it not being as funny.
Can
the
we
most
lift?
Surprising thing about Max Barghese when he died was that he wasn't Jewish.
Wow. That's I think this is the third commentary you've said.
Have I? It stuns me.
I've stunned by it. I don't know
it
because you said it before.
He was very Catholic boy, wasn't he? Yeah. But he does all that, I want to tell you.
He does.
It's really subtle.
But it's East End London.
It is, yeah. So he'd have grown up with guys that have Pinter and all that.
He's nearby Tower Bridge.
So Chris.
That wee guy from Words and Pictures.
Oh, Henry Oscar.
Yeah.
Can you?
No, not Henry Austin.
Can you, in chronological order, name the Henry presenters Wolf. Of Family Fortunes?
Yeah, it's easy.
Come on, then.
In chronological order.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. Bob Monkhouse.
Yeah.
Max Baggage.
Yeah.
Les Dennis.
No, no. Yes. Well, Bob Monkhouse again.
That tall cunt.
Oh, hang on.
Bob Monkhouse again.
Yeah.
Okay, so Bob Monkhouse.
Bob Monkhouse. Yeah. Max Baggage. Yeah. Bob Monkhouse. Uh-huh.
Les Dennis.
Les Dennis.
Yes, and then come on, you can do this.
That tall guy that nobody likes.
No, there's someone before him. I'll give you a clue. He was the warm-up man for a long time, and then he got the main gig.
It's not a fucking. It's not something like Vince Henderson or somebody.
No, you're just about right though. But you've hit the level. You're not going to get it.
Steve Pink?
No, his name's Andy Collins.
Oh, that's right.
Not the Andy Collins.
No.
Not Andrew
Collins. Not Andrew Collins. The brilliant, the insightful chronicler of our times.
Yeah.
And his garden.
Yeah.
So Andy Collins was...
And then the tall cunt that nobody likes with his wife.
Yeah.
Andy Collins was the warm-up guy for Les Dennis. Allegedly. Right? And then he was delighted.
Imagine being Les Dennis's warm-up.
I know.
Man.
But then he got the gig.
Yeah, but it's not.
No.
You'd have to get them into a pretty fucking fever pitch. For the men to go. Yeah.
So they then gave him the gig, and then the show got cancelled. And so do you know what his next job was? Warm up guy on Family Fortunes.
Oh,
they brought him back. Yeah.
That's really sad,
isn't it?
But he just stood this, and I've seen that stage.
Yeah, that's
I've seen you from the stage.
Yeah, I could do that.
Could do about that better than you.
What's his name? It's Tess. Tess Davis.
He was the Moigle, and he was
Vernon Kay.
Is he still a thing?
I don't think he is really.
He still does Family Fortunes.
Did she get him to fuck? Because
there was that thing.
He was doing 40
texts. I don't remember the fight source, so we probably shouldn't go into.
That was a matter of public record. He texted another lady, but
Quayle was married to.
But I think he's still. They've rested. I think all Star Family Fortunes. But he was the most.
Well,
recent
you know what? It was one of those things like All Star Mr. and Mrs. Mm-hmm. Where that period where everything was All Star, everybody get fed up with it, but they were still doing it.
Yeah,
it's like. But the point of Family Fortunes was that it was families, just people.
Yeah, I do remember once seeing Les Dennis living a black family on. And I'm doing the full, my man, and all this. Yeah, and of course, they're having to go along with it, you know. And it's just like, shut up, Les.
That's not a good look.
You know, it can only go one way from Vernon Kay, and it's Paddy McGuinness, isn't it?
Oh, I don't mind Paddy McGuinness.
Well, he's too busy in the Tim Yell.
That's pretty funny. I love Tim Yell.
No, Chris, you're fucking wrong.
I
refute that, Chris.
No, you don't.
I did like him in Max and Paddy's when he was having the wank by the side of the bed going, Paddy has needs.
I love Tim Yell.
And the bit when he smacks the guy, the only two funny bits.
I didn't like Max and Paddy.
No, that was the funny thing. And the other funny bit was when they're in the prison and he smacks the guy with the tree, the guy that's threatening them, and he just hits him right out of nowhere with it, and he says, "You play with feathers, you get your arse tickled," which is a good line.
Although
the reference to BJ and the Bears also good.
Yeah,
but there was one bit that was marginally funny, which was when Max was explaining his idea for a TV show, which weirdly,
just take me out.
No, it's called something like Iron and Magnet or something, which is basically Sapphire and Steel.
Oh, right, okay.
Was
well,
it?
Hey.
Yeah.
Wow.
What was it? That's
he's a big he's a big tinker, isn't he?
Slime has come in.
It's like poetry.
Like poetry.
Wonder if they did bring it back. I wonder if they'd cast in Sapphire and Steel.
Oh, that's a good one. That is a good one.
Craig. So we just told you, Craig, you are now the producer of the new series Sapphire and Steel at the hospital. Who's the Christmas
production.
Yeah, who's your first casting decision?
Who's
going to be Sapphire? Who's going to be Steel?
For the avoidance of doubt for all of our billions of listeners,
I
am doing a sort of pretend pipe smoking thing here, and it's good.
Can I just say Susan Calman's off the table, so you can't have her.
Well, she might have hurt herself because she's a real lassie, and that's a hell of a drop.
Yeah.
She's a very nice lady, Susan Calman. Yeah. I met her once in the hospital. We were in the queue buying fish and chips.
Yeah.
She was very nice.
She's a nice lady.
Right, hang on a minute.
Not funny. So,
I like this guy. I like these little shadow guys. They're good.
He's super creepy.
Mm. Yeah.
Looks like a Crowman.
There we go. So anyway, come on. The credits are coming up.
Yeah.
It says Steel. What's the name underneath?
Okay, who am I going for? To play Steel, Vicky McClure.
Is that because she's good at standing there and going?
Yeah, she's very good at crossing her arms.
Yeah.
Bob Woodhouse. In terms of who would play Sapphire, not Vernon Kay.
Vernon Kay.
Yeah. Unless we can get Bob Goody.
Bob Goody.
Get me Bob Goody, damn you.
What's Bob Goody doing?
What's Goody up to?
Yeah.
I'll go for Vince Henderson.
Yes. In both parts.
And David
Split
McGee.
Screen.
Doesn't it have to be Rishi Smith?
Oh no, please no.
Please go. I saw today on Twitter saying he'd love to play Poirot.
What?
I bet you would.
Can we also? I would like to. If I was ever ruler of the BBC, I'd bring in a rule that anything that we did at set in the past may not feature Mark Gatiss.
Mm. He isn't a lot. And he always plays it the same way.
He does, doesn't he?
Have any of you watched Gunpowder?
No, you wanted to talk about that, didn't you?
Yeah, I watched the first episode. Is it good? Really good. Yeah.
Is it?
Yeah, it is.
How different is it from Gunpowder, Treason and Plot?
I've never seen that, so I don't know.
The Jimmy McGovern one.
McGovern, yeah.
Which was cracking.
Oh, it was, yeah.
Well, this was great. It's got Jon Snow as Robert Catesby, who I believe he's related to.
Yes, I've heard that, yes.
You're amazing.
But the beginning...
You mean he's not related to James the Fourth?
Yeah. The beginning is fantastic. The first, like, 15 minutes I would imagine, is slightly based self-consciously on the beginning of Inglourious Basterds.
I mean, I was going to say, is it them trying to persuade somebody to go in and buy fireworks?
No, it's not got him in old enough. No, it's at the sort of manor house of the Catesby family,
right.
And that actor who's Sean something or other, he was the hard man in lots of things. He plays Sir William Wade, who's turned up to find the priest, one of whom, of course, is Peter Mullen. And it's the thing about them hiding the priest, someone gets stuffed in a priest's hole.
Does happen. Something's
as in,
changed,
as,
yeah,
as, happen. As in the Peter Sellers Fu Manchu film.
Yeah, no, absolutely.
Helen Mirren says, you beast. and it's them walking around the house and just very slow, very tense. Are they going to find him or not? It's brilliant, really good.
Oh, cool.
Thereafter, there is the most astoundingly gory and violent double execution that I've ever seen on telly.
Oh, really?
Do you know how the woman gets killed? Well, they stick a big, they lie her down. They, not, see, they,
why is that funny?
They get a big.
No, it's the way it goes. Right, they stick a big. Well, hang on.
Right, actually, before that.
Okay, yeah.
All right, Harvey, go on.
So before that, they have a chat. Yeah, go on.
No, wait a minute. Yeah.
Let's get
a shite. No. Right, so they take her up on. She does in a minute. They take her up onto the gallows or the sort of.
Access!
Yeah.
Yes, there's an access.
Whoop,
yeah.
Whoop.
Yeah.
So they get there. That's a very 80s pair of tights she's got on
it
there.
It is a nice pair of tights.
Right, go on.
They get a big rocky stone thing. Yeah, quite a big one.
Yeah.
And he lays it in the middle of the platform.
Does he?
Then they lie down on top of it with their back on it. Then they take this big heavy metal, hugely heavy metal thing, and lay it on top of it. She starts screaming. And then they put on four huge weights, one after the other.
Oh.
And she screams. And basically she just hear a crack.
Oh.
And then the blood starts pouring at the side. It's fucking horrible. Then they get some other chap up and they hang drawn quarter him in front of you.
Wow.
So they hang him for a bit, then they cut him down, he lands down. Then he gets in with them and pulls his guts out, pull it all out, and then they start chopping him up.
Wow. It's still alive.
Pretty fucking horrible.
Wow.
And the head comes off, which they burn and quarter him and hold up. He's half it. At that point, we were all, there's three of us. Me, the missus and the son will go, Jesus Christ, this is a bit much.
Can I
but it's really, really good.
Good.
Then you've got Matt Gaetis coming in talking
yeah,
like that.
Yeah, being Matt Gaetis.
And sort of.
Yeah.
I think he just gets a sniff of it in the past.
Things a little bit like.
He does, yeah.
This?
Yeah, he does. Can I tell you my casting for Saffron
Steel?
I don't
like him at all.
Yeah. My casting for Saffron Steel.
Oh, it's Moxie.
It is Moxie.
Yeah. It's Christopher Banks again.
Yeah. And he's quite creepy in this.
It's because he's required
to be creepy in everything. Yeah.
So, Peter Capaldi and Bella Renberg.
But who plays whom?
Whichever way you like. Couldn't it?
Not really, no.
No, I'd watch that.
Yeah. Is Bella Renberg still with us?
She certainly is.
Good, that's nice to know. It's good to know that, isn't it?
Yeah. Now, here's something else.
Not that long ago she was doing a Christmas pantry at the Motherwell Civic Centre.
Super.
I'm desperately trying to get to
Have you ever
Christmas
been to the Motherwell Civic Centre?
Yeah.
It is one of the great buildings, yeah, isn't it? Have you ever been to it?
No, I haven't.
It's a beautiful... It's the South Lanarkshire Council headquarters.
Right.
It's an amazing... It's like the one in Newcastle.
Yeah, it's huge.
It's a huge, big... Brutalist.
I need to go there.
Building with beautiful wooden, you know, those sort of wooden slats that stick out for no good reason. It's got loads of them. The other one that's like that, of course, is the Edinburgh University Library,
right?
Which is incredible.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. I saw the Super County Super Show.
Super County Super Show. Did it have a theme tune?
No, it was
Super County Super Show.
No, that would have been in a pseudo robotic voice. Super County Super Show.
No, it was even better than that. For some reason, about
nearly 20 years
1978.
ago, North and South Lanarkshire decided to brand themselves, put together as the Super County.
So it was, say that again, it was which counties?
North Lanarkshire and South Super Lanarkshire. County.
So it's just Lanarkshire then, basically?
Yeah, but they were still two separate local authorities.
Super okay. County.
Together they called themselves. And therefore they put on every year the Super County Super Show. It's a big skill show.
Sponsored by Access.
From people from all. You're flexible, friend. From people from all. All of the different schools had control. And it was fucking brilliant.
It was like a gang show.
What was brilliant about it?
What
was brilliant about it?
Counting yourself at home.
No. It was much better than that. Because there were people who really thought they had an act.
Was a laser phaser.
So they had like, if you were lucky, there was like a wee group, a wee Kaylee group or something playing whatever. Peggy O'Keefe was playing the piano. The oldie timey star, Peggy O'Keefe.
Okay.
I don't know if you know Peggy O'Keefe.
Mother of Miles, star of Tarzan and the Ape Man. No.
I'd love to believe that's true. No, but you know, Peggy O'Keefe, she was like Douglas Wiley and people like that. They used to, they were known.
Yeah.
You know, like there was the Peggy O'Keefe trio and things like that.
I didn't know.
Anyway, she was there. Andy Cameron
what
was the
year
host.
What is this thing? Because it what sounds like it's about 1964.
No,
and you're
this
not that
is
old.
About nine. This is about 2001 or 2002.
Is Andy Cameron a dead man now?
No, not at all.
What about his tinted estate agent sunglasses?
No,
he's
still on the go.
They're still on the go as well.
And anyway, they had like, but the best bits were, I was there because my sister was doing the PR for Super County.
So sorry, I think you said this. When was this? What year is this?
About 2001.
Because I've still got notice of changing things in my head because it's your man here.
But the best bits were, there must have been talent shows.
Is this getting a bit loud in the background, by the way?
There must have been talent shows or something in the various different schools.
No, they were actually talking
because
about
the best bit was the guy, it was a wee guy who came up, well, he wasn't a wee guy, he was a young guy, he was fucking enormous. And he was wearing a grey body warmer and he sang Angels.
Did he?
But
I'm so fucking glad that song is falling off the pop culture.
And do it all,
she offers me protection.
No.
Okay, gone.
He was really going for it.
Let's do this.
But the best bit was, when it gets to the really awkward sort of musical bit, the instrumental section, he stood and went, ba ba da ba bow.
He did that.
Ba ba da ba bow. And then got really embarrassed.
Did he have a band?
He's gone, no, it's just music playing. Ba ba da ba
bow. How old was he?
Well, it's a school, so he must have been 15.
Oh,
so then
God.
He was going, ba da ba.
I bet he got it.
And then he's just standing there going,
I bet he got his energy that night.
It was fucking brilliant.
It's a sexy song.
What a great night.
Can I just say,
do you know how much sex he got that night? You're going, cashew.
I think I'd cast in Sapphire Steel Roy Barraclough and Pam Early.
Yeah, you just. You just think I'd look him
like. The late Pam Early.
The late Pam Early. Now,
somebody. Who I've cast as Steel?
Who is that?
I don't care if Todd.
Good, isn't
it? I don't care if Todd has got a rent in it. I don't want no rent. Alright.
Uh-huh.
I'd cast David Warner as Pitcher he is now.
Which, well, he played Steel in the Big Finish audio plays.
Oh, yeah, he does a lot of that stuff.
Yeah,
he?
And I think it was Susanna Harker played Sapphire. Mm. It's not bad casting.
There's no reason why it has to be a blonde woman. It could easily be maybe a slightly rotund West Country vicar.
It could be, couldn't it? Hello. What's the affray here? It's following of Anthorpe.
Or maybe a couple of...
And it's Silver and Steel. A
couple of puppets.
Yeah, that could be.
Yeah, what would that sound like?
Dosmo.
Dosmo.
Cosmo and Dibs have been assigned.
Cosmo.
Oh no, what's going on? Time's gone backwards. Let's go and visit a bottle-making factory.
You racist bastard.
That's good. It's just a good impression.
Oh no, that's it, Cosmo and Dibs. That thing looks a bit like that thing, Chalky. What's it saying? I actually quite like your Chalky.
It's quite good, my Chalky.
I didn't mean the Chalky as in the Jim Davidson.
No,
one, by the way.
Now, something I did want to point out about Sapphire and Steel
is that
they're extremely good at the visuals of creepy looking people.
Yeah.
So with Johnny Jack, who we just saw there, yeah, was Moxie. He really just looks really creepy.
I was just noticing that he had Golden Virginia out of a tin with Rizla and Swan Vestas. That would be exactly what my dad was rocking in 1981. Yeah, great man for the roll ups in his day with Shug.
You still get tins of Golden Virginia.
Look, this gentleman's quite he's creepy good as well. Now maybe it's just a generational thing, and
he's probably 49.
And us looking there back, they look creepier. Mm.
But Moxie's not quite so poxy there, is he?
Oh, no, he's quite poxy. Yeah.
Takes me back, Bomb. It takes me back. That's the best bit in the whole series because he's an arsonist, and the thing's on fire at the end, and he's drunk. He's going, "Takes me back, Bomb. It takes me back."
What would
Bomb say? An arsonist. He doesn't even smirk.
What would Bomb say if he turned up here?
Well, Bomber don't like them jumpers.
Bomber don't like that.
Oh, I don't like those transuranic elements.
No.
Bomber's got a whip and now.
Oh, don't like this garage.
I really don't remember that end of part one font at all with the drop shadow.
Yeah, I take it. I must admit,
from that time.
Looks a bit time slippy.
Oh, is it hauntological?
Time slip as in the series?
As in they've put it on later.
I see. Okay. Yeah, I don't remember that at all. Time slip's a good series. Have you seen that?
What was that?
Kid series from the early 70s. Mm-hmm. It's got Spencer Banks in, who's the lead actor in what's it called? Pendus Fenn.
Oh, I like Pendus Fenn. Yeah. I really like Pendus
Fenn. First Time Slip story is very good. I think it's got Michael Sheard in it as well. I think it's very good. It's very slow,
but like
in the right way.
You boy. What's that for? Carte Blanche or something?
Somebody's made them a wee bit.
Elizabeth Shubbins. They're not too shy about the product placement, are they?
Yeah. Can't you really avoid that? Like,
access card.
As a result of putting that there, the ATV man, who was the producer who had an access card, got a limit of £60.
Yes.
Thank you, Maria.
So, did you have a particular favourite ATV region, ITV region rather, or not? Was that a thing?
A particularly favourite ITV region?
Yeah, so when you go, good, I'm glad it's a Thames thing, or it's...
LWT, and as much as I ever noticed, LWT, because that meant The Price is Right was on.
Yeah.
Yorkshire, because I associated that with most of the comedies that I liked.
3-2-1 as well.
And 3-2-1. Mm-hmm. But I mean, mostly, like, if it was a comedy like... you know, Rising Damp or Kit Curran or something. Yep. It was like, oh, Yorkshire, great.
Uh-huh. It comes Southern on, you think, did lots of quite creepy stuff, didn't they?
Southern did, yeah.
Yeah, that's quite good. Nowadays, a lot of their stuff is good.
Yeah. Granada, to the extent that I associated it with...
World in Action.
Yeah, but also Sherlock Holmes. Mm. Yeah. So I was always into that.
I think also Granada did Arthur C. Clarke's Mysterious World.
I think they did.
Yeah.
Casting a glazed eye over his young body servants.
Well, for me, it was ATV was the region.
Why so?
Because when I was...
I mean, obviously, we're taking STV out of the equation here.
Well, so, yes. So when I was a very younger boy, then that was my region that I lived in. And then we moved away... In 1981,
to Scotland,
and we got
Scotchland,
and we got Grampian. Yeah. Weirdly, even though I lived in Cleish, that's near Kinross,
got really angry that they had Scottish names in the programmes.
Quite angry about that. And so then, when we went back to ATV Land to visit friends, it was Central Television.
I have to say that this.
I'm so looking forward to seeing the ATV logo again.
I remember when the Central TV logo appeared. And I was completely baffled by it. It's like, where did that come from? Who are these people?
Family Fortunes was Central, wasn't it?
Sorry?
Family Fortunes was Central, wasn't it?
Because it was ATV. Because it wasn't quite a new franchise, was it, Central?
No, it was ATV, but it had to change its name.
Yes.
Because it was meant to... Because the one of the reasons that ATV, I think I'm right in saying, lost its franchise was that it hadn't reflected the region enough. It's fucking ironic now, considering it's nothing.
Well, that's one of the.
And so then, was that why they then had to open the studios in Nottingham then? That would be why, wouldn't it? For East Midlands.
Really, upsets
me.
Yeah. What upsets you?
The Broadcasting Act, whatever it was, that basically destroyed regional broadcasting and television in Britain.
And why is that a bad thing? Why would that be a bad thing?
Act of utter vandalism. What's wrong with that? Vandalism. Well, you would think it's fine because you're
in
London.
I'm trying to pull from you, Craig, your.
Because. we had a better idea of what was going on around the whole of the United Kingdom then than we do now.
But it also, but what it also meant was that there was, well, put it this way, if you were a programme maker in Yorkshire Television or Granada or HTV or Tyne Tees, and say you arrived,
but probably not border.
But carry on a border. That's the cupboard. With James the cat in it.
Where they did Mr.
I've been in that cupboard.
This is every alternate series. Yeah.
So you would get if you arrived and said this is what we want to make, and if at any point you said, well, because obviously we'll make it in London, they'd have sacked you.
Yeah.
As I say, we fucking make programmes here for
you. Get guys like David Pritchard, who had a great career out of always working out of Bristol and Exeter and places like Plymouth.
So when were you at border then? What can you tell us of that hallowed place?
When I worked in the small hospital in the borders.
Right.
I had colleagues at Border TV.
Right.
And I went to visit one day a woman who was a reporter there. She said, pop in here. Because I used to drive through there to go and see my girlfriend who lived in Lancaster. Actually,
presumably it's on Carlisle. The border somewhere. Sorry, it's in Carlisle.
It was
Carlisle.
In Carlisle then. Right.
Okay.
I don't know what they do with it now.
And what kind of building was it?
Can I just tell you, my then girlfriend lived in Lancaster.
Right.
Or in Preston for a period as well. Mm-hmm. So I would have to drive from the borders down there to see her. Mm-hmm. And I'd stopped off a couple of times in Carlisle and I got shown around the studio.
Wow.
It's nice. But literally the studio that the news came out of was the same one that Mr. and Mrs. had, and it was like a corner. It was tiny, right? It was not an impressive thing. It was just a sort of, you know, very average office building in the outskirts of Carlisle. Mm.
When I was in Norwich a little while ago.
All the good stories begin when I was in Norwich. Yeah.
Went past the TV studios.
One of the great misnomers, the misremembered lines of old television.
What's that? Live from Norwich?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Never live.
Yeah, you're right.
Obviously it wasn't fucking live.
Yeah. But I was quite surprised how small the Anglia building was.
Yeah.
And then also the Tyne Tees Studios where the tube folder came from. That was very quite small as well.
Yeah, that was on the outskirts of Newcastle, wasn't it? Yeah.
Oh, wow.
They were happy days. They were good days.
Great days. Yeah. Imagine walking around ATV and then bumping into this bunch.
Yeah, exactly.
In the canteen.
But it's the time. It was a time when the big five were like Yorkshire Television, Granada, ATV, Thames, and LWT.
Yeah,
could be referred to as the big five.
That's right.
Now they would be considered. They would be talked down to.
Yeah.
By cunts in London as, you know, regional, provincial television stations.
Yeah.
Tin pot television.
Granada Television was the biggest independent television production company in Europe at its peak. As Johnny Hamp, the late, not late, but I mean, he was latterly head of entertainment at Granada, said to me, it's just run by fucking caterers now. It's when they
didn't John Cleese also refer to Jerry Robertson as a bloody upstart caterer.
I did quite like the Granada service stations.
Yeah, Granada service station. Now I don't know the roads very well, but that crazy one that looks like it's sort of, but it's very brutalist and space age with the big tower.
That's
and all
said
that.
Lancaster.
Yeah, that was a Granada one, wasn't it?
Was it?
It's fucking horrible, but it looks pretty funny. Of course, these days we always stop at
T-Bay.
Yeah.
Available for sponsorship.
Yeah, T-Bay.
Yeah, but love your pies.
Yeah,
nice pies.
We can only afford 1 month every 2 years.
No, absolutely. You can only afford a bowl of soup in your when it's like the Commonwealth Games are on. You know.
Yes, that's very true. So Edward de Souza.
But it's a treat to stop there.
What else has he done then? We said he's kind of a character.
Oh, Edward de Souza was in lots of things. He was in the. Remember the Timmy West series, Edward the Eighth?
Vaguely,
he was in that. He's in A Question of Attribution. He's just one of these people that just cropped up in things all the time.
Who's he in A Question of Attribution?
He's the policeman that David Calder replaces.
Ah, okay.
At the very beginning. Yeah. When Jeffrey Palmer says, you laughed, and he said, no, I didn't. He said, yes, you did. Ha ha is laughing. Ha ha is laughing. Boo hoo is crying. At least it is in my book. Perhaps that's why you haven't done very well.
Wow.
It's a great play, that.
It's good.
But yeah, I mean, it's just somebody that would crop up in things all the time, as people did back then.
You could put these on the stage, couldn't you?
Yeah, you could.
Yeah, you could do them on the stage, yeah. They'd be very effective on the stage, actually, especially Adventure 2.
Have you all seen the trailer for the film version of Ghost Stories by Jeremy Dyson and Andy Nyman.
No, I didn't know there was a film.
Yeah, it comes out in the spring.
Ah, have you seen
I that? Saw it on stage in London, yeah.
Did it scare you?
Yeah, it's great. Yeah, it's really, really impressive. I saw it during one of those years, like 2010, when it was the big freeze.
Mm. All right.
And I walked from my hotel at Waterloo over the bridge and up to the you know, theatre land. It was really nice, a really nice cold night. It was incredibly cold. Uh-huh. And it was just a really nice night to go and see. It was only 90 minutes and, you know.
What's scary about it?
I hate being in a theatre for ages.
Mm. Oh, yeah.
I hate it when it goes on for hours. You know, if there's three acts,
yeah.
Mm. And you get the end of the second act, and you go, oh, there's another one.
What's scary about
that's
it?
That's because I'm a fucking filmmaker.
The script and the acting and the direction.
Right.
All right, smart ass.
You know I'm getting this one.
No, I don't
you know perfectly well.
If I tell
well.
You, then it gives away the chills of it.
That's what I'm asking you to do. Yeah.
But what will be interesting to see what the managers on stage, they pull off a very clever...
so I haven't seen
Andy
it,
Nyman, shut up.
I think there's something
I'm talking.
There.
Yeah, Andy Nyman co-directs it. Of course, he's a magician.
He is, yeah.
And he works with Darren Brown.
He does do that.
So they pull off a very clever sleight of hand that makes you go, oh, at the end of the play, which is very good.
Okay.
I found the first story, which is about a night watchman, a security guard, who's played by Paul Whitehouse in the film.
Uh-huh.
Very, very creepy.
Was it an anthology, is it?
Yeah. The middle story, I know we do, yeah. The middle story,
it's like I love a medley,
involves someone driving home at night through the woods, which is really clever.
Oh, I like the sound of that, yeah.
The third one involves a baby.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, they're all good, but the first two I thought were the best ones.
But a baby what?
That's Chris. Exactly the question I was leaving opening for you. Yeah,
a baby what?
Did she just grab her nipples and squeeze them?
Have you seen Woman in Black?
Sapphire and Squeal. Wait, I have, yeah.
That's scary on the stage.
Yeah, it's staring scary.
Oh!
And it does a very clever thing because at first when it begins... Do you know what the structure of it is, Chris?
Mm-hmm.
You've seen it on stage?
Mm-hmm.
I saw it
Citizens years ago.
Did you?
That,
it's a good.
You don't... The first thing, this is not, how can this be scary? Two guys, you know, because he comes through the audience and it's all about him being an actor
that's
and helping him to project his voice.
Yes,
and you're thinking,
to tell a story,
how does
he?
This... Yeah. This is not going to be scary, but then this is the shit in it.
Mm. Yeah, it's very scary.
The bit with the rocking chair.
Mm-hmm. And Saffron's still is very scary.
It's quite warm.
I mean, that's the reason why I stuck around it, is I find it terrifying.
Yeah.
It's very, sort of chilling, spine chilling.
Do you know what I don't remember anyone doing at the time was after watching it going, oh, what was that about?
Mm.
No, everyone just kind of took it as it was.
Yeah, you just took it at face value. I mean, I don't think anybody ever, at the same time, I don't think anybody ever watched it and went, I know exactly what just happened.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah,
and we are building up to the amazing ending. The ending is fantastic.
Yeah,
I'm stuck in my mind.
Yeah, it's one of the bits of it I remember. I remember the bits I remember from watching it when it was first on. Specifically, the ending of this, the coming down the stairs in Adventure 2.
Oh right, okay.
You know, in the when they do the sort of bridge thing.
Uh-huh.
You know, when he's quite willing to sacrifice her and send her over the person. I can't remember who it was in.
Tully.
Yeah.
Yeah. Phenomenal performance.
It's coming down when it's coming down the stairs. Uh-huh. I remember that.
Yeah.
And as I say, the end of this. Mm-hmm. Oh,
but I remember remember being at the end of it and thinking.
Nice,
I remember we get to it, come to it, but I remember actually being quite upset at the ending of it. So I didn't want that to happen to them because I liked them.
Right.
Yeah, because I mean,
I don't really remember this last time.
Because if you,
but you wanted to watch it.
Yeah, no, I mean, I from rewatching it, and it's amazing. But I mean, from original transmission.
Oh, you mean from when you watched it? No, yeah. I don't remember.
I don't remember it.
But I think it's so. I think the adventures themselves are so odd that it would be very difficult to remember them after such a long time.
Because
there's no logical progression where you can say, well, I can piece together the bits in the middle, and oh, right, now I remember.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, if you followed the logic of the programme such as it is, they're still there.
Mm.
Yeah, absolutely. Which I like.
Yeah. Which means that Peter Capaldi and Beryl Ember could break out of it
at any point. That'd be good, wouldn't it?
If anyone could, it'd be Bella.
I think so.
Bob Withers.
I think so. But in the first story, I remember the goosey goosey gander bit. Because we had...
I don't remember anything from that.
Because we had a goose.
Because you had Big Boy the Goose.
Big Boy the Goose.
I don't remember anything from the first story.
About the
two
kids.
Well, I know we're watched it since, but I don't remember it from broadcast.
And in the second story, I remember...
You would have been about three, so... Yeah. I remember the bit where... We were precocious to remember the details of it.
It would. I remember the bit, I think, where Steele is in the
Labour Party
in the submarine
from 1976. I genuinely do.
You were one.
Yeah.
That's weird.
That's weird. So I remember the bit where Steele's in the submarine at the bottom of the sea.
Mm-hmm.
So I remember that bit. And the aforementioned pack up your troubles in your kit bag.
Yeah.
Remember that?
Almost all...
Knowing many of the words to it because of
stories.
That.
Stories... Mm. This is like the fried egg rule. Almost all stories are made better by being transported into either a submarine or a lighthouse.
Yeah, no, that's and, true. Yeah, yeah, no, well, absolutely. Actually,
why is that the fried egg rule?
A colleague of ours, Dr. James Cook, has a law that there is no plate of food that isn't made better by having a fried egg on top.
Well, actually, there's another rule along those lines, which is the Sharon Irvin rule, which is any meal is made better by putting a poached egg on top
of
it.
Fine. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
We're talking literally
savory.
Anything.
Savory, though. Savory.
Yeah, obviously.
Look, a dinner.
Yeah.
Name a dinner.
Okay, let's have a think about this.
No, just name let's one. Just go on, name one.
I'm going to say... chicken madras.
Right. Imagine that. Poached egg. Poached egg. Poached egg.
Yeah, beautiful. Nice, yeah. Can you imagine how nice that would be?
Yeah. Lovely. Break it and mix it in.
Oh, exactly. Wow. Amazing.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
I'm going to try another one now.
Spaghetti bolognese, easy.
Yeah, that
steak and chips, obviously.
I'm not sure if I'm on board spaghetti bolognese with it.
Well, that's because you're
spaghetti carbonara,
be fucking
weird.
That's because you're a fucking weird.
No, it would be like a sort of Florentine kind of thing. It would be amazing.
Yeah, it would be nice.
Any pizza with a poached egg
fucking awesome. An egg on top is fucking fantastic.
Amazing. Yeah. I defy you to think of a dinner.
Who would want to mess that up with an egg? Actually, Cohegan.
We need to get this on record.
Uh-huh. Yeah. When you go out for breakfast with Cohegan,
this is really weird.
When you order a cooked breakfast,
returning soon for Alien Coventry.
Good.
He says, "Don't give me any egg."
That's terrible.
Yeah, it's weird. But it's not even. Because then, of course, everybody at the table, like everybody normal, says, "Well, I'll have your egg." Yeah. And they say, "No, I don't want it on the plate."
He doesn't want it on the plate.
No, I don't want it on the plate or near anything.
He also believes you should never eat onions because they give you the shitters.
I'm giving the shitters.
That's a bit like...
shitty onions give you the shitters.
That's a bit like, what do you call Tommy from Snatch and his stuff about milk.
Yeah.
So let me ask you this, right?
For you're developed enough to eat onions.
Yeah.
So for your cooked breakfast, where do you want the egg to be placed?
What kind of egg?
Let's say a fried egg. Let's start with that.
What do you mean? Where do you want it placed?
I want it on my toast. But I want it on my toast.
You want it on your toast?
So, yes. No, I want a bit of toast in there.
I would accept it on a tight scone.
Yes.
Draped over a tight scone.
So you wouldn't have it on a bit of toast?
No, because I want my toast.
No, but you've got another bit of toast. So you got your toast, which is your toast, and then you got your toast that you can put your egg on.
I think that may be too much toast.
No, I'm happy with that.
I'll tell you a nice breakfast you can have at my house sometime.
I like that. Toast. Hopefully it's going to be warming.
See your breakfast, sweetheart.
Sliced avocado. Uh-huh. Poached egg on top.
Kind of losing
that. That's good, I like that.
Not any avocado.
Nice coffee.
Why don't you like avocado?
I don't dislike it. It's just like...
I tell you. See if it's got the right consistency.
When
that poached egg starts breaking over it.
Well, it's very hard to get a ripe avocado.
Yes.
Well, you have to go to like Sainsbury's or Tesco and buy the ones that say ripe to eat now.
Yeah.
And literally, you have to.
Because a lot of places you go and they're not.
Yeah, they're like rocks.
Yeah.
You could put them under your back and put a weight on you, and it would fuck you up.
I think we should all go into work tomorrow and just pretend we're steel. Don't you think that would be good?
Some of us don't have to pretend, my friend.
Yeah, that'd be good luck, wouldn't it? That'll get done well.
Should I go in and pretend I'm Billy Emberg?
I'm going to go in and pretend that I'm Remington Steel.
You're Remington Steel.
I'll go in and sing, "I've Got You, Babe," really loudly.
Yes, that's right.
I was singing in the hospital today.
Were you?
Yeah.
Were you now?
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm going to find an old person. I'm going to try and sacrifice them to time tomorrow. That's what I'm doing.
Fair enough.
Where do you stand on beans in the breakfast?
I'm not massively
keen. I'm okay with
beans. Yeah, see, I'm. It's not something I'm really into.
No.
Except, sometimes, I have to say, I do like it if you get beans and you've got a bit of toast, because then you can have your breakfast and then have beans on toast.
Yeah.
I do like that sometimes.
I like that. Yeah, I mean, I used to be really against it. Now I can cope with it.
Yeah, I'm a bit more. As I get older, I'm
However, laid back about it. I'm not that arsed about the Holocaust either.
Are we allowed to talk
either?
About no. the other thing to we, do with we, you? We know this.
What, sorry?
What?
Are we what?
If we were having a breakfast, people would generally speak like to use some kind of condiment.
I dare say.
No, we've talked about this.
Yeah, Chris doesn't like the ketchup. Like you're all right with brown sauce, aren't you?
I'm totally fine with brown sauce. I don't particularly like it.
You know what? It's funny that, because I like ketchup and whatnot, but I can kind of understand it, because what I don't like is if I get any on me. I don't like the smell of it.
I smell it. I like the smell of it.
You see,
no, I don't.
I see, I get the value of brown sauce, because it's got a fucking flavour. You know, and you can see why it would be like an actual sauce.
Yeah.
That would enhance the taste of something else, like mince.
You don't regard ketchup as doing that?
No.
It's funny, really sick, but until about 2 or 3 years ago, I couldn't take brown sauce, but now I really like it.
I'm not kidding it.
No?
No.
But you're an Englishman, you're supposed to love brown sauce.
Here's a weird thing, right? What is it with the English having chips with breakfast?
Yeah, I don't like that.
That's weird, isn't it?
Americans
have... Who thought that?
Breakfast fries, breakfast potatoes.
Yeah, that's weird. I had relatives, like older relatives, who would have fried potatoes with breakfast, but they were just because there were potatoes left over for the night before, and you would just, it was like instead of having potatoes gone, it was just a way to use up food. But there's not like, they would never cook potatoes so that they could fry them.
His own potato scones.
Yeah.
His dad taught him how to do it.
Yeah. See, sometimes you get people make... Oh, really?
Yeah, you can make potato scones.
Some people make potato scones. Some bakers, if you go to a baker and get potato scones, they're too soft sometimes. Yeah.
You really just want a pack out a shop.
McGee's, basically.
Yeah, absolutely.
I think McGee's make the best one. Because they need to go not brick hard, but at least a bit crispy.
Yeah.
So, because if they don't, they just swallow it all.
If you were to go to the hospital canteen, would you ever like having it as the under part on a roll with something on top?
Yes, no, absolutely.
So, hang on. So, you have potato scone and a roll?
Very rarely eat anything.
Is that what you do?
Sorry?
I don't do it every day.
Like potato scone and a bit of sausage.
Oh, yeah, that's fine. Yeah. But I don't like it when people have it in a roll.
Yeah, I don't think that's right.
Yeah, twat though.
I don't think that's right.
Can I ask you a question? You see this moving back and forth between England and Scotland?
What do you mean moving back? What are you on
that
about?
That you did when you were a child?
No, we didn't. We moved from England to Scotland.
Then you moved back again.
No, we went to visit friends.
Right.
Yeah.
At any of those occasions,
here we go.
Did you think you'd seen the end of Piggy Hook?
Can I just say? At no point until we'd had independent verification.
Yep.
Did we believe that we'd seen the end of Piggy Hook?
Can I just say this though? I'm not entirely sure.
He does have children.
I'm not entirely sure.
Little piggies.
We have seen the.
I don't think we've seen the last of Piggy
Hook. I don't think so either.
I think it's going to take more than the Bosnian War to keep that boy down.
This week, only a fool would think that that's
would
happened.
Write off Piggy Hook.
Absolutely. Not
so did your parents like Saffron Steel?
My parents loved it.
Yeah. My dad liked it.
My dad loved it.
Yeah.
If I asked him about it, they would say, what? Saffron Steel? Sibab de Bo, Sibabum, Balabi de Bo. But what the fuck are you talking about?
It's your dad's fucking Cleo Lee.
he can't get a name right.
Yeah. No,
my dad names me after dead people sometimes.
Does he?
Yeah, it's fucking terrible.
Oi, Hitler, get in here and get away, mate. No, that's my dad does one better than that.
He started in a thing where if he gets it up, he brings his knee up and goes,
does he?
He's got all sort of Jack Douglas. Fucking mental.
My dad does one better with the names, which is, he will say, right, so I'll say, what was the name of that? So I'm being my dad, right?
Right.
Sorry!
Yeah.
Hey! What was the name of that comedian in Carry On films that used to go like, hey, oh,
Jack Douglas.
Aye, something like that.
Yeah. My dad,
and then I
then you say, and then I exactly say, like that.
Yeah, something like that.
I remember distinctly one time the
fucking
phone
brilliant.
The phone was ringing in our house. Ring, and my dad went to me, Puff, go and answer that phone.
Was this
that's what you said?
Did your dad think you were gay?
No.
Well, I was going to say. I think my dad thought I was you did, when I was a teenager.
The bit you did before that, was that just before he died?
Yes, yeah. That's pretty much. I think so why did your dad think you were gay?
Because I liked books and stuff.
Oh, no, I was going to say, because you like boys.
I must admit, I did go through a period as I was about 16 of reading the Orton Diaries in a couple of years, and I think he probably thought that was... I'm really glad he never opened it and read it, because it would have been fucking thrown out.
Baggy trouser, bally with it.
Yeah. I was telling Craig my father.
I never had a girlfriend either. I just never had girlfriends because I just didn't. Yeah. You know,
my father-in-law. His
never did I. There you go.
No.
My father-in-law. He'll just say, "Would you like another?"
No, hey. I'm sorry. As deputy to Rose, I'm not allowing you to get away with that. I have
I'm
a badge.
Telling, I just think but about it.
That's enough.
Yeah, no. It's really, I know already. You told me that before.
I've told you about that. Yeah. Before, so he likes doing the old. It's like another. In fact, is there any more of Can I have a bit of a...
Have I ever told you the story of the best thing that my Uncle George ever did?
What's the best thing?
Uncle Doddy, to my dad.
What's that then? Thank you.
I thought I must have told you this.
You probably have.
Let's hear
Tell
it.
Us again.
When I was a kid growing up on Pennywell Road in Edinburgh, my dad was having a bath.
Yes, you've told us.
Have I told us this on one of the comments?
I'm not sure, but go for
it. Uncle George came in the house. He was my mum's brother. And he was like, and he always called my dad Shug. My dad's still with us. My Uncle George isn't there. Right. And he was my mum's younger brother. He was like, underdog. So, Shug, Shug. He was always a piss taker. Shug, Shug, let me in him. I'm in the bath. You know, two kids, wife and all that. Just, I'm having a bath. Uh-huh. Give me a break, you know. Gosh, Shug, I need it. Come on, let me in. So my dad eventually. My dad was amazingly a tiny wee skinny man. So he sort of got up, unsnibbed the door, sat back in the bath. George went and said, "Oh, thanks, Shug. You've no idea. You've no idea what this means to me." Unzipped him and then pissed in the bath while my dad was sitting there. Just purely out of badness. Incredible
thing
to do.
How premeditated was that, do you think?
Well, I think once he got in...
Oh, he probably needed a piss.
Aye.
But then thought, how can I capitalise on this?
Yeah, exactly, yeah.
I like that.
As a friend
said... That's entrepreneurial thinking, isn't it?
What added value? Yeah, how can I add value to this? Yeah.
It's I have a friend who's a writer who wants to stick it in a script sometime because she says the same thing. It's such a complete breaking of trust.
Oh, yeah, no, absolutely.
Unnecessary breaking of trust.
That's great.
Just piss straight in the bath. My dad's screaming.
So who?
Me and my brother, of course, thinking this was the funniest thing that's ever happened. Yeah.
Who are these dudes? Then.
Well, that's Edward D'Souza.
Yeah, no, but who? But what?
Oh, I've no idea.
We've been talking about
breakfast.
There's another great Uncle George piss joke, which was that his pal Corky.
Corky.
He had a pal called Corky. Smith McCorkindale, so his name is Corky.
Oh, yeah.
Him and Corky were delivering sweeties for a living.
Mm.
And they delivered, and it was empty. You know those big empty plastic tubs that would have sherbet and things in?
Right, sweet job.
Corky needed a piss. Oh. And so he pissed in an empty one, and it all started foaming. And they had to throw it in a field.
That's pretty good.
Yeah. Have you got any good piss anecdotes? They're quite posh, Jack.
Piss anecdotes.
You won't have any piss anecdotes.
Piss anecdotes.
You must have something about your dad.
Yeah, I know. Absolutely. He did smell the old piss to the old person. Poor old boy.
Hit Catford and pissed in the sink.
Yeah. Poor old lad.
Missed that goose.
Sometimes when we used to go and see him in the hospital, he'd be wearing two pairs of spectacles.
Okay, that's enough. That's getting quite upsetting now, actually.
And one time he was wearing...
And he still didn't know who you were.
One time he was wearing a witch's hat.
He just said, poof, when you walked in.
No, one time we turned up and he was wearing a witch's hat.
Brilliant, kicking off.
Happy as a clam.
We're quite near the end now.
Yeah.
Don't open that again, Edward.
So I think all we ever learn is that these people are not fans of Saffron Steel. And this whole thing's a big trap.
Mm. Yeah, but is it suggested that they are also...
Don't know what
transdimensional
or
beings or
are they the transuranics
or the agents of time or something like that? Silver's clearly a transuranic element.
Does silver or non-transuranic betray them at the end?
Sorry,
does silver betray them?
No.
See, I don't think so. I wondered when I watched this again not that long ago. Uh-huh. I got it to about episode 2, and I thought either Silver was going to betray them, or that the whole thing was his idea. Like it was an elaborate trap. Detailed to do it.
Uh-huh, yeah.
But see, when you get to the end, it could actually be either of those. Or none.
Or none. Could be anything.
The framing is fantastic in Saffron
Steel. And do you know what happens right at the end after the end two edits? Oh. It goes and pisses in that Rolls Royce.
Who wouldn't? He's got a shite in that box. It's been varnished.
It's the thing about Saffron Stone. Is
are we pinched off end one?
Do you think that if they'd done like a lot more, if they'd done a lot more, it would have kind of ruined it? Because I wonder if there's only so many ways you can do this.
Well, you mean they'd have kicked the ass out of it?
Yeah, I just wonder how many stories you can do with time. In this
it's
way.
An interesting thing, isn't it, about when a programme runs its as you know, I've recently been watching,
goes on too long.
Yes, Minister and whatnot, and though it just stops short of going on for too long. The last series of Yes, Prime Minister, it's all a bit familiar.
Yeah.
Patrick Troughton's going to jump out now. God, I'm up.
Yes.
Arr, here's my box of delights. How did Patrick Troughton die? Remind me.
No, Barney Dog. Is he dead?
Apparently.
When did he die?
I hope so. He's still on top of that nut.
I have no idea how Patrick Troughton died.
I wonder what he was wearing.
Okay, was it the other day? Did your brother post a thing on the TV Creams? The thing with John Pertwee in the Blue Peter studio with the car?
Oh, I missed that. Was it the Hoomobile in there?
With Bethany?
No, yeah, the sort of silver one with the sort of Batmobile type thing.
Yeah, the Hoomobile.
Yeah. No, right, yeah.
He sort of seemed to be in the impression it was his own.
Yes, yeah, I think probably did. Yes, that's right. Yes. Yes, I think it was. Yeah, no, it was. He bought it.
Yeah, oh, right.
Yeah, and then he said to Barry Letts, the producer, that should have it in there. Talking of Twitter, though.
Did he then try to charge them a horrendous amount to use it in the programme?
Yes, I think so. Talking of Twitter, am I not right in thinking there was...
John Pertwee would never have escaped all this going on just now, would he?
No, he wouldn't have. No.
Which bit?
Frankly, any of it. Including bribery in Israel.
There was a great letter on online today, one of the social media things, which is an old Viz one, saying of all the revelations in the current Jimmy Savile scandal, the one that bothers me most is I never noticed there was only one L in his Sunday.
Yeah, lots of people got that wrong, didn't they? Now, on Twitter, I think there was the photograph of the actual of your wimping from Edinburgh, wasn't it?
Yes, there was, yeah.
I'm excited about that, albeit
although it said it was 1970s, which it wasn't. Yeah. No, that was the big one that opened about 83, 84.
84, cool. Yeah, apparently.
And that was the one that I ate, the one that I was sick with.
Mm. Yeah, I remember that wimpy.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was good. It was a big one, wasn't it?
Well, what I think I hadn't realised, because I'd never... Everyone used to always make big jokes about how it was really funny to sit down and have a wimpy with a knife and fork. I never knew it as that. I only even knew it when it opened up like a McDonald's style.
Right. Oh, right. No, when we were kids and we went to the... Because it was on our birthday, it was just a thing where...
Oh!
In my... my Grand Smith, not Steptoe. Mm-hmm. Right, okay. We would go to the Colt Bridge and the Asda, the Wimpy Colt Bridge, which is the precinct with the Asda. Uh-huh. And it was, and the one in Union Street was knife and fork as well.
Yeah.
But the one in the corner of Ingram Street and Queen Street wasn't.
Yeah, so it's the same sort of thing. So I just never knew it because I never went to things like that.
No.
Because I grew up with Jeanette Winterson in a strange, funny wee. Lesbian.
But then there was all these stories about how, you know, Wimpy are planning to expand it, because there still are Wimpys.
Well, there was one quite recently in...
there was one in Ingram Street.
Is that Ingram Street, just heading along?
Well, that's not been there for a long time.
Yeah, but within the last 10 years or so, it was still
there. It was.
It was there. It was there when friends of ours worked in Fix in Miller Street. But it had gone by the time they left.
Right.
So that's 9. Not a kick in the arse off it. But there are still, not in Glasgow, they're dotted around. There's some like, there's 60 around the UK Gastic or something.
Like near.
Yeah. But now they say there's going to be this big expansion. And all that. Yeah. Well, so they say, it's just one of those things. Yeah. What they do is, their PR people will put that out. And then they'll see what kind of reaction it is and whether they should bother their ass doing it.
Nobody gives a fuck.
No, I'd love it if they got. I would see Sharon. We've always contended that the Wimpy special sauce on the burgers, which was fucking amazing, was just mayonnaise that you left on the windowsill. Because it was tangy. And they always had those onions that somehow they diced like to a millimetre square.
And I also Little Chef.
Never been in a Little Chef.
I have.
But I hate it. It used to be one all the way up to me when people call it Little Chef.
Little Chef.
It's not Little Chef.
Who says it's Little Chef?
Well, it's the way kind of people are pronouncing there. I have noticed that as well.
Little Chef.
I've never been
it's
in
not
one.
Not Little Chef. It's
Little Chef. There used to be one in Greenock. Or just outside of Greenock.
Used to be one on the M80 on the way up to Stirling.
It's like at the hospital recently they've been talking about Tomorrow's World. It's not. It's Tomorrow's World.
It's Tomorrow's World.
It's not Tomorrow's World.
I hate it when they put the wrong inflection on things.
It's Tomorrow's World.
Wrong emphasis.
Is it harassment or harassment?
Well, I always thought it was harassment.
People say harassment though.
Depends which way you do it.
Because you don't say... you don't say...
like that or like that.
That's it.
Well, there you go. See, that's the box.
Or like...
He's just opened the box.
He has opened the box. And now they are in the shit. Yeah, that's both.
So some lovely gravy boats there, Luke.
Yeah, beautiful gravy boats.
So the man opened the box.
See, that's a good gravy boat, that, because it has a bit of body to it.
Yeah.
Instead of those shallow ones, it just spills around if you try and put them out. And it goes cold dead quickly.
The kind that they give you with your sauce in it. It goes cold really quickly. Yeah.
You get a skin on it really quickly.
You need a bit of volume to keep the heat.
And if when you go to do it, it just spills all over the top.
Fucking shite. I've got a good gravy boat by the house.
Yeah,
like that.
We've got my mum's got a beautiful gravy boat. When we moved into the,
is it the shape of a mallard duck?
It's really, really sort of Art Deco in the sense that it's probably worth quite a lot of money. When we moved into a flat in Millport, there was this crockery in a cupboard. And there was just random plates, but they were incredibly Art Deco kind of plates. And this absolutely beautiful gravy boat, but it's a beautiful pourer.
I like a nice pour.
Nice action.
Yeah. I do like a nice pour.
Somebody explained to me.
They don't realise that they're fucked up yet.
No, they don't quite know.
And it's actually the first time you ever see him looking quite nervous and a bit
out of sorts. Yeah, because he's usually really in charge.
Yeah.
Somebody explained to me recently why teapots are so shit nowadays. Like metal teapots.
Oh, I thought this is interesting.
Yeah, it's actually genuinely interesting. Uh-huh. I can't remember where we were.
Were you in Little Chef?
Why they just drip all the time.
Yeah.
Were you in
it's
Little Chef?
It's because... I've just explained I've never been to one, you cunt. You know the metal ones you get, the crap ones, when you're right, but they always pour really badly. Yes. It's because they did away with a proper spout so that they can be packed closer together.
Oh, is that right? Interesting.
Yeah. Makes the production more cost effective.
Oh, interesting.
And they don't work.
And they don't work, but it doesn't matter because they're cheaper.
Because you bought it by then.
Because none of them work, so then you just think that's what they're meant to do.
Yeah. You just get used to it.
Because we're all cretins and idiots nowadays.
Yeah, well, we certainly seem to be.
Yeah.
That's really depressing, that story.
Well, it's just the point that people just... That's a real thing I've got just now, is that people will settle for fucking anything.
Yeah.
They just go, instead of saying, no. Instead of somebody bringing over one of those teapots and saying, no, take it away and bring me a proper teapot.
Yeah.
Because see, if enough people say that, they'll go and get other teapots.
Absolutely, yeah. Be backgammon.
Not sure about that wee job either.
How did they? I wonder how
backgammon.
They get such great performances.
Flug.
They get such great performances out of all the actors, but a lot of them can't have understood what the fuck is going on. Don't you think?
No.
I mean, he's brilliant in this, isn't he?
But that's a proper actor.
Yeah,
I've no idea what any of this means. But
it is looking as we just said.
Sure is.
So that means he's got the real one.
He's got the proper job.
Here we go. Look, spring it.
Tappity butter buttons.
Flange.
Look, you can see Steele's starting to realise he's kind of fucked.
Yep, they've lost this one.
Yeah.
A lesser programme would have done.
Absolutely. Or had a swelling orchestral music.
Yeah.
I like that this really has next to no music in it.
Mm-hmm. They disappear.
Yep.
And then this bit that scared the shit out of me.
Yeah, absolutely.
Really
yeah.
fucking freaked me out.
Yeah, the ending's amazing.
Check the windows, David. Check the windows.
It's not the windows.
He's more freaked than she is. She's quite sanguine
about
it.
Yeah, she's just like,
yeah.
And that's you. Yeah, she's just like, well, we played the game, we lost.
Yeah.
Like Connie. I'm gonna play the game.
As in the Stephanie Beecham show, it's funny.
Which was kind of like a discount Howard's way.
It was, yeah.
But you know what's great about that? Oh.
Do you know who I'd have as Steele?
Connie?
Not the guy from Howard's Way.
Yes. God damn it! Look at that! Actually, you can't have a window flooding in space.
Do you know we once got a hat tip on Twitter from like a Howard's Way fan page?
Oh, brilliant!
Because of your impression.
Very good. You can't have a bloody window flooding in space. That's not how I've built bugs for 40 years.
You know what's really good about the reaction there? It's just a accustomed now, finally, after all these years. It's because every week, John Lumley at Safa is it's almost like when they win, you know, they achieve their mission. It's like, oh, we managed to achieve that, you know, like, oh, we got out of that one. So she's not surprised when they don't, because it was bound to happen. Whereas he always presumes that they're going to win, and then he's really dumbfounded or confounded when he doesn't, and he's quite angry. I am astounded by my insight and analysis. Thank you very much.
I was just thinking that if I had to be stuck anywhere floating in space for eternity with Joanna Lumley in a well-stocked cafe, as long as there was enough toilet paper, and you would need a lot of a toilet paper
and eggs.
Get those curtains
and eggs.
So there you are.
There we go. I still love Saffron Store.
I love it too. I'm not sure we've talked about it enough, but
I think it absolutely survives. I think any people, amount of rewatching.
I think from listening to this, people got the gist of what was going on in there.
Yeah, I think so.
Well,
much more
else
than they ever have before. I think we've unveiled. I think we have unfolded the secrets of Saffron Steel.
Okay.
All right, everybody. Bye.
Bye.
Bye. Bye.